Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Jesus and his disciples are on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus leads the way. He alone is going to the sufferings and to the death of the cross. And as he has said, to his resurrection also. He's just spoken of those things last week as we studied. But now two of his disciples, they come with a request. So we're looking at verses 35 up to 38. And we are seeing their request, the thing which they asked. James and John, two of his closest disciples. Labda umna kumbuka kwamba wakati ya transfiguration, palikuwa wana from the tatu, James, John, were two of them, Peter also. The time when he healed Jairus' daughter, he took just three to see James and John. Now, Petru, Pia. And these then were very close disciples. They came with a question. Walimu, walisema. Tunataka kwamba, ufanye, that you do for us whatever we ask. Well, what would you say if someone come and said, please do whatever I ask? Well, Jesus wasn't going to commit himself, but wisely he asked, verse 36, what is it? What is this thing? And they said, well, what a request is this? What would you ask of Jesus, by the way, if you had one request to ask him? They said this, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Well, Jesus had just spoken in verse 34, remember last week, just spoken of his rising again. And they wanted to get their place in quickly. If Jesus' kingdom was going to come soon, they wanted to get their seat before anyone else got it. Well, I suppose there was something good in what they said. They really believed that Jesus was a king. Though now he was so humble, so rejected, though he was nothing in the nation of Israel, though all the leaders had thrown him aside, yet they believed he was a king. And so that was good, I suppose. And they'd seen many people come to him and ask him, and he'd rewarded their faith, and he had said, because you've believed, here it is. So they came to him with a kind of faith, I suppose. But the good in their request, it was only little. What was the great thing he had just spoken so much about? Last week we studied verses 33 and 34. Sufferings, betrayal, death, hatred. Jews and Gentiles all standing against him to mock him and to crucify him. He had just spoken of the cross. They were going to Jerusalem now in the shadow of the cross. His sorrows were come upon him now. And yet they were thinking of glory. In their hearts there was reigning and honor and power and victory. Kumbuka vitu ambavyo Yesu alisema katika sura ya nane. Sura ya nane na selaseni, verses 34 up to 35, that he called the crowd to him with his disciples, and he said, if anyone would come up after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. He was speaking to them that if they followed him, they must follow him in the way of the cross. One of the other gospels says, take up your cross daily and suffer for Christ. You know, we have sufferings and we have problems in our life, don't we? Lack of food, perhaps, or some problems in your family. But actually, that's not what Jesus meant when he said, take up the cross. Because those problems you'll have if you follow him, or if you don't follow him. But he spoke of the sufferings you have because you follow him. The sufferings in following him. That you must be prepared to be rejected, to face hardship for his sake and in his service. But those things, how far had they gone into the minds of James and John? How much had they understood them? So little. Because though he spoke again, yet they came and said, give us our glory. Let us have our glory, Master. Their ideas of Christianity were just empty dreams. There was no reality in them. Whilst he spoke of death, they thought of riches and power. One the prime minister at his right hand. One the chancellor at his left when he came in his kingdom. What is the Christianity you have believed in? Who is the Jesus who you trust? Because for many in our country, it's just an empty dream. They're following after visions which aren't there. They think of success and ease and plenty. And yet, if they would open their Bibles, it would speak to them of the cross. Who have you believed in as your Saviour? Do you have a Saviour who's really there? Or do you have one who you just imagined yourself? Well, let's come to verses 38 to 40. In verses 38 to 40, we see Jesus' rebuke. The Bible says, those whom I love, I rebuke, I discipline, I chasten. And Jesus is very straight with them, verse 38. You don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're talking about. Because glory comes only after suffering. Verse 39, and verse 38. There is a cup to drink, a cup of sufferings. And it's a full cup. There's a baptism to be baptized with. That's a baptism of sorrow, of deep waters coming over your head, of deep grief and pain in being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory comes only after suffering. It's the way Jesus opened for us to walk in. He didn't open any other way. Peter, in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, Ali and Dika, and Natalie Sema Vituhivi said, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. When will we have our rejoicing and our glory? When Christ's glory is revealed. Yes, he gives us tastes along the way. Thank God he gives us rejoicing. Even so, the Bible can tell us to always be rejoicing. But we'll drink deep of the cup of rejoicing when he appears at last in glory. But for now, we mustn't be surprised if following Jesus is hard. If his commandments aren't easy, if he says to leave behind things you love in this world, if he says to put him first, and he says put him first, and you say, how can I do that? I have so many problems. You know, how can I find time for serving the Lord? How can I find time for being with his people? Doesn't he know my problems? Jesus knows your problems. And he says, follow me, because where you go, I've been already, and I've been much, much further. Well, Jesus asked them, verse 38, can you drink this cup? Can you go through this baptism of sorrow? Their answer, verse 39, it's so quick, so easy. We can! That's all they think to say. They don't say, well, you better explain this a little more, Jesus. No, they just say, Tunaweza, Hakuna Shida. Verse 39, as it continues, Jesus said to them, it's true. You're following me, you will drink this cup. You will face this baptism. You know so little about it now, James. John, your dreams are so foolish and empty. But you'll know the truth later. And they did. James was put to death by King Herod, Acts chapter 12, you can read about it. He was arrested, he was put in prison, and he was beheaded because of Jesus Christ. John lived a long life, but it was full of hardship. And even as an old man, you found him in the prison on the island of Patmos, a prison island. And so he wrote the book of the Revelation to his brothers, and he said, I, John, your brother and your companion in the suffering and the kingdom and the patient enduring that are ours in Jesus, I was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God, because of testifying to Jesus. Later they knew what these sufferings were, though now they knew so little. If you follow Jesus and you don't know hardship yet, you will. You will. There is no other way than the Master's. They fooled themselves that any problems would be small, any difficulty would be little, they'd rise above it. But they found out later. Well, the answer to their question, verse 40, was that it was not for Jesus just to give the place at the right or the place at the left, just for the asking. No, there were those who had been prepared for them. These places were being prepared for them. Jesus came to do the will of his Father. Everything he did had been planned in eternity. These places were for God to give. Or will you let God be God? Will you let God give you your place? God decides that one person will be here. God decides another one will be there. And yes, we must use every opportunity. We must seek to grow and develop. We must seek to build with everything God gives us. But will you let God be the one who decides what to give you? So you're not grasping, not fighting to get some place or something that God hasn't given you. Not breaking God's commandments and trampling all over your brothers to get something God has withheld. It was a great rebuke to them. You don't know what you're talking about. And these things are not for you, Jesus said to them. And who were these men who he spoke to? They were the apostles. How long had they been with him? 3 years. How much had they seen and been taught? There'd been no mistakes, no errors, no bad examples. They'd never seen anything wrong from Jesus. And yet, look what was in their hearts. Look at the earthly glory they still wanted. And so it's a word to every single one of us. Jesus asks, what are your real desires? What do you really want in life? Where is the place that when you're challenged, you'll fight to the end? What is the thing you want and won't compromise on? Well, thankfully, Jesus changed the hearts of James and John. You should pray too that he'll change your heart and teach you his way. If we come to verse 41 up to verse 44, Tunaweza kuona kwamba kumi wengine, they were angry also. You have the word indignant. But they took offense They didn't like the things that James and John had said. Why not? Well, it doesn't say they were angry with the sin of James and John, and it doesn't say they were grieved at the foolishness in James and John, but they were angry with James and John themselves. And I think it's clear that they had the same in their hearts, that they also wanted these places of honor. And they thought, why didn't I ask first? Or they thought, hey, how can he ask for that place? That's my place. I'm just as good as him. If he can have that place, I can have it. These were the kind of thoughts they were having. So Jesus took them all together, very wisely. He spoke to them all, verse 42. And he said this, said, you know how this world works. You know who the great ones are in this world, don't you? Who are the great ones in this world? Who are the ones we're always reading about in the Daily Nation? Who are they? They're the ones with power, the ones with authority. Wale ambao wanaweza kusema na vitu ambavyo amesemia. It is done because they spoke. Moja atakufa, moja atakuwa na maisha. Kwa sababu, the great one, he spoke. But Jesus said, verse 43, it will not be so with you. In the kingdom of Jesus, that is not greatness. And nobody is to look for that kind of greatness. We know people are fighting even now for their position in 2012. They've been fighting for their position since 2007. And you know that when 2013 comes, you know what they'll be doing then also, don't you? But Jesus said, my kingdom is not to be like that at all. Ninataka kusoma kitabu cha Mathayo na ishirini na tatu, chapter 23, verses 8. Verses 7 to 11. Verses 7 to 11 of Matthew 23. Jesus spoke about the religious leaders of his day. Said they love the place of honor. They love the best seats. Verse 7. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces, to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called a rabbi, that word means teacher, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. Verse 12, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. There are to be no positions of greatness in the church. Those are to be honored only who serve. Is there any teaching in the Bible that has been more ignored than this one? And how many love to give themselves titles so that this church, oh, the Reverend Bishop Doctor Professor will be teaching you this morning. You know, and how they love to be called in the marketplace. Oh, Pastor, Pastor. And it's as if Jesus never spoke such words, isn't it? But Jesus said, you are all brothers. Do not be looking for places of honor. Do not be giving yourselves titles and positions, because Christ alone deserves those honors. How does it work in Jesus' kingdom? Who is the truly great? Well, verse 43, the one who wants to be great among you must be your servant. Greatness in the kingdom means serving. Who is the greatest in God's eyes in Eldoret? It's the person who serves others the most. Yes, and whoever wants to be first, verse 44, if you want to be above everybody else in God's eyes, then you need to get under everybody else in this world. The one who's the first in God's eyes, he's the one who does the most serving. The way up in the kingdom is down. The way to become bigger in God's eyes is to become less in the eyes of this world. And so those ones who are great in God's eyes, you won't notice them in this world because they're too busy putting the chairs away and serving you cups of tea. They're too busy sweeping the floor. They're too busy out visiting the sick and those in hospital and those street boys who have no one to care for them. The great in God's eyes are out there serving them. They're not sitting in thrones at the front of churches. They've not got their names on notice boards where you can come and honour them and say, oh, there's a great bishop leading this church. But you don't notice them because they're too busy serving. They've got too little time to make you look at them. And so you don't notice them. But God notices them and he calls them great. Can I ask you, what are you doing to serve in God's kingdom? God's given us his stick so that we can measure ourselves and we can see how great we are. Who are you serving? Surely you know some people to visit. Surely you know someone who has nothing and you can share something with them. Surely you know someone who doesn't know the gospel and you can take it to them. Surely you know someone who has nobody to care for them and you can care for them. So I ask you, how much of that are you doing? And then you'll know the answer to the question, how great are you in God's eyes? Well, let's come to our final point, our fourth point. So we've seen the request, we've seen the answer, the rebuke, and we've seen who is truly great. But finally, verse 45. Here is the truly great one. Jesus wasn't afraid to point to himself and say, if you want to know what you should be doing, look at me. Paul did the same. He said, follow me, because I'm following Christ. Follow me in serving. Because what did Jesus do, verse 45? Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. You know who this person is? He is the man amongst men. There is no man like him. He is the head of the human family. He is the greatest, the greater Adam, the greater King David, the greater Moses, anyone you want to choose. He is the man amongst men. He was the favorite of heaven, worshipped by the angels, loved by the Father, praised by cherubim, praised by seraphim. And our reading this morning in Philippians chapter 2 says he humbled himself. He didn't hold on to his position in heaven. He was equal with God, but he didn't think, I must hold on to that and keep it at every cost. No, but he humbled himself to become also a man. And when he became a man, he didn't say, oh, Tosha, let me be a man, but let all the other people come and serve me. Let me find that throne in Jerusalem where they'll all bow down. No, he humbled himself to be a servant. And he didn't say, it's enough that I've served these sinful people once and twice. He humbled himself even to the death of the cross. That's how far he went. He was highest of all, and he became the lowest of all. Rejected by men and punished by God for our sins, he served us to the cross. Verse 45, to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you know what a ransom is? It's a price to gain freedom. If somebody is kidnapped, then soon their relatives will be getting a SMS on the phone and it'll be saying, oh, we've got your son or we've got your wife. Here's the price. You pay this price, she'll go free. It's the ransom price. Jesus paid the ransom price to set us free from the prison of our sin and of eternal hell. We were the slaves of death. Death owned us because we sinned. And whoever sins belongs to death. Death is their master, and eternal death in hell is their end. But Jesus came and paid the price on the cross, and he set us free. Doesn't use the word all in verse 45, but he uses the word many. We who have come to trust in him. We who have had our eyes opened and turned to him. That's how Jesus served. He went even to the hell of the cross to bring us out of the hell we were heading to. I ask you, has he actually paid your payment? Are you free? Well, there's a very easy way to know it. If Jesus has paid for you, then you will now be like him. If Jesus has come and given you a new life, we will see that new life in you. So are you being like Jesus in this world? Are you serving? Or are you saying, well, you know, my place is somewhere up here. I'm not the kind of person who can get too dirty. You know, culture won't allow me to go down too far, you know. Well, friend, did culture allow the Son of God to be crucified on the cross? Well, yes, it did. And so it will allow you to come down also. And I say that to everybody, because we can all come down much, much lower. See, then you'll know if you belong to Jesus. Are you like Jesus in this world? Do you still have the spirit of James and John in you? Because sadly it's there still in Christians as well. You're looking for the places of glory. Will you take up your cross and follow him? Will you go with him through suffering and pain for his sake? Then you'll rise with him. Then you'll share in his glory, the true glory. This world's glory will soon be gone. If you go with Jesus, you'll share in his glory in the world which is to come. Hallelujah. Amen.